Welcome to the Bridgepoint Church Message Podcast. My name's Andy, and I oversee our online ministry. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, but have not yet connected with us, I'd really love to hear from you and get to know you better. Please text the word connect to 727-202-4537. Today is part two of our series, Better Than Normal. And today we are talking about finances. How often do we end up worrying about money? If I had this much, fill in the blank, or if I could pay this debt, or if I could have this thing, money can control us if we let it. But there is a better way. We won't drift towards healthy finances because money will never fully satisfy us. But in this message, Tyler helps us see that in Jesus, we can be completely satisfied.
Week two of a series we've been calling Better Than Normal. And here's why we're doing this series. Our teaching team was led to a place convinced that if what Jesus says is true, then this passage matters and all of its implications. That in John chapter 10, when Jesus says these words, I came so that they, anyone who follows me, can have real and eternal life. And then he said, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. If that's true, then the question is, are we living a better than normal life? And if we're not, what are the reasons we're not living up to the promise that Jesus made to us? So that's what this series was about. If you missed last week, week one, go catch up with that on our YouTube page. Like it, share it if you enjoy it, and I think it'll speak into you. But suffice it to say, kind of the big idea of that message was that there's no neutral when it comes to following God. You can't coast in that. You don't float in that. You're either drifting from God or you're getting closer to God. But getting closer would require intent and purpose and decision. It's something you actively do. You don't stumble into that. That truth will apply to today's message as well. But the purpose of today is really that if we want to experience the better than normal life, then there's key aspects of our lives that are really important for us to trust Jesus in. Again, he's either gonna come through for us or he's not. And so today's message is one that I know you're all gonna get so excited about, because today I wanna talk about this question. How can I experience a better than normal life in my finances? Yay, I'm surprised nobody was cheering, because I know many of you, probably most weeks, are showing up to church saying, oh, if only the pastor would just tell me what to do with my money. I'm kidding, that's actually never happened. I'm actually convinced that there's probably more of you tuning in and joining today that the moment the word finances were mentioned, I saw some of those elbows saying, we haven't been in church in months and we show up on the day he's gonna talk about money. Here we go again. I get it, I'm right there with you and I'm the guy that has to do the preaching. It does not get me excited to think about that somebody wants to stand up here and tell me what to do with my money. And I want you to know, first off, that is actually not my goal. We talked last week that if at any point in this series you feel like you're walking away, or I feel like I'm equipping myself with a checkbox list of things to do or not do to somehow curry favor or honor God more than I have been, we're missing it. That's not the type of God we serve. In fact, if you and I could please God in and of our own strength, then we wouldn't actually need Jesus. We probably wouldn't need faith because we'd just get busy doing the right things. But the reality is that as broken people, as we sang about, we need rescue and a savior, and that's who Jesus is. But even in that, that's not what this is about. In fact, I would argue that there's two critical things for every follower of Jesus that they have to make the decision to trust Jesus or not. There's two of them that rise to the top of the surface that your faith is really exercised or not. The first is the moment Jesus calls you away from someone or a relationship that you greatly value, knowing that it's not in your best interest. That's hard to walk away from, especially in moments where we feel we need that person to keep moving forward. Do we trust that Jesus has better for us or not? And the second is, do we trust Jesus with our wallets? That's hard. Money makes the world go round, right? We got to have it to continue living and continue exercising life and buying things that we need. So can we really trust Jesus with our finances? And moreover, what would it take for us to experience better than normal when it comes to our finances? Now, this is not going to be a message like a lot of you are already thinking. I can convince you of that because I got great feedback on the first service. So don't check out yet, okay? There's hope yet. But I want you to understand up front that God does not need your money. God isn't sitting in heaven saying, man, there's so much I'd want to do if only they would open up their wallets. Man, I would love to do a miracle, but that one's going to cost them. Man, I would love to show up on their behalf, but I need these people to come through for me. That's not the way God is wired at all. If ever you want to follow a God that's dependent upon human beings, I would be concerned about the God that you're following. To take it a step further, in Psalm chapter 24, David records God as being this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Understand completely and totally, there is nothing our God lacks. There's nothing our God lacks. God is not hinging his ability to come through for you on whether or not you come through for him. In fact, God loved us even while we were enemies of his. He's not waiting on us for anything. His mission goes forth. And last time I checked, to own the whole earth and everything, the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, he's doing all right financially. Okay? I think he's okay. That's the encouragement that I want to give you. I'm not suggesting, even if this scripture is true, that Bridgepoint needs your money. That's not what this message is about either. Now, I would be remiss to not remind you that it costs money to execute our mission. That's just true. But if all I cared about was getting your money, then you better buckle up and every week would be a message on why you ought to give to the church. But that's not the case. Because quite frankly, we haven't had a message about finances and money since the fall of 2019. And that's more of a reflection on me than it is anything else, because Jesus actually has a lot to say about money and a lot for us to navigate when it comes to how we handle finances that are really important to talk about. And so that's an indictment on me as the executive pastor of teaching. And I want you to hear why, just to scratch a little beneath the surface, why I think today's going to matter in your life and mine. Jesus was often teaching crowds as they gathered around him, and this scenario is no different when Jesus made these direct comments in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew was a tax collector, someone that handled money for a living, that was an eyewitness to Jesus' life. He actually recorded a lot of Jesus' sayings, teachings, and livings that the stories might live on accurately from people that were there and witnessed it all. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Matthew records Jesus as saying, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And then Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and money." You cannot serve God and money. Now, I would imagine that most of you today did not show up saying, "Man, I hope we get a message about money." And even if you were a little bit in that camp, it probably wasn't because I am struggling to serve money instead of God. I do it all the time. Nobody probably showed up saying, "Yeah, money controls my life." Nobody probably showed up saying, "I've got a problem with this because I'm living paycheck to paycheck and I still don't know where all my money goes." But if we're honest, Jesus's warning, I wonder how much it actually does influence our life. Because that's a bold statement, right? You're either going to love one and not the other, or despise one and not the other, because you can't serve God and money. Those two things won't go together. Therefore, if that's true, and again, that's part of the faith journey that we have to determine if the eyewitness Matthew and the teachings of Jesus are worth following with our lives. But if it's true that you can't serve God and money, I want to make something abundantly clear right from the beginning with this big idea. God doesn't need your money, but we do need to trust him with it. Here's what I mean. Again, God's not held up by my lack of faith or yours, by my inaction in things that I ought to do or yours. God doesn't need us to do anything. But we absolutely, according to Scripture, do need to guard our hearts and trust Him, especially when it comes to money. You see, I'm not talking today about a dollar issue. I'm not talking about bills and change, cents and Venmo. I'm not talking about those types of things. I'm actually talking about a heart issue. That in order to follow Jesus completely, in order to trust Him, if He is trustworthy, then are we willing to trust Him even in the spots of our lives where it might actually cost us? Because if I could frame this big idea one more way, the one thing that I want you thinking about as you walk away from today, it would be this. Jesus promises to satisfy you completely. Money will never be enough. Jesus promises to satisfy you completely. Money will never be enough. Now, in light of everything that's been happening in this world the past couple of weeks, I also want to make it abundantly clear that you could substitute money here with any other God that we would put above Jesus. Jesus is the only God. He's the only real God, but Jesus is also the only God that ever came, lived, died, rose, and executed His ministry that He may give to us. He came that we would have better than normal life. Every other God that's ever been worshiped throughout history, throughout humanity, always demands and expects from us, never gives. Money is no different. Because you think about, well, Tyler, I would do a little more with my money. I'd probably give to the church more. Or I might be more intentional with my savings or my funds that I'm setting up for retirement. I might be wiser with that if I just had a little bit more money. There was a survey not too long ago, this is a common one that's passed around, of wealthy people that were asked about their finances, and it just got to the point in the survey where the surveyors asked them, well, how much money, to these rich and wealthy folks, how much money is enough? The answer almost to a T revolved around a response similar to, how much money is enough? Just a little bit more. Because money always takes. Money never gives. Money never satisfies. And you can't serve God and money. Now, you probably didn't walk in thinking that this was a constant struggle of yours. But what if the way we've oriented our life, what is commonplace to us in how we live and how we go about our daily business is actually a reflection that maybe for some of us, we're not doing as strongly guarded in our hearts with this as we might like to believe. And that's why I want to turn your attention to Jesus's words. Because I think what He has to say about it, if Jesus is worth following, is actually paramount for us trying to not only follow Him, but live a better than normal life. And I think what you'll see from that is rather interesting. Right after, the moment after Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money, Matthew recorded Jesus teaching through story the crowd that had gathered about money. And here's exactly what Jesus said. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Well, I'm going to read it one more time. It knocked me off my feet too. Do not be anxious about your life. Got it? Go do that, okay? Do not be anxious about your life. Some translations actually translate that anxious word as worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to buy. Don't worry about that job. Don't worry about that career or that school or that degree. Don't worry about where food is going to come from. Don't worry about which relationship you should or shouldn't be a part of. Don't worry about how you're going to spend your money. Don't worry about those things, Jesus is saying. Well, my response to that, Jesus, is that that's easier said than done. Because worrying is what we end up spending a whole lot of our lives doing. For good reason, right? Like the last thing any of us would ever want is to be accused of being terrible spenders or not having enough or not looking like we have enough. Because let me unpack for you specifically what Jesus was saying when it comes to not worrying. Don't worry. Do not be anxious about your life. He goes further. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now pause with me. See what he's saying? It's like God's got this. God's in control. He's taking care of the birds. Why would he not want to take care of us? But how often is it that we find ourselves worrying about getting to the next paycheck? Stressing, well, I'm not sure I can give this month. I'm not sure I can do that this month. Or I'm not sure how that would reflect. Like, I can't show up wearing that. Or I don't want to be caught dead driving that. I don't want to live in that neighborhood. I don't want to rent from that complex. How often do we get in these habits of trying to keep up with Joneses or expectations that others put out there and live up to a standard that quite honestly nobody has set for us but us in our own minds so that we can keep up with everybody else? Jesus says, don't worry about that. Don't be anxious about it. Don't spend your time there because it's not worth it. And here's what I love about it. That right in the middle of a teaching on money, right in the middle where Jesus is encouraging everybody to understand how to spend wisely and spend well, don't miss the power of his very next question. Are you not of more value than they? Remember the birds of the air that God takes care of? Are you not of more value than they? Then when it comes to what you buy and how you spend and where you shop and what you do with your finances, Jesus was actually going to slice through all the peripheral conversation related to money and go right to the heart of the matter. In essence, Jesus is making sure that everybody understood their worth. And what I love, what is so beautiful about Jesus, the way he lived and loved so differently, that this was not a question of worth that was determined by a bank account or a house or a car or a second house or a job or a degree or anything else. Jesus went straight to the heart, and I want to take it just one step further because you and I have the benefit of living on this side of history, that Jesus's life went to its completion. He died a death on the cross that he did not deserve. And then eyewitnesses saw him alive, having risen from the grave, forever offering us the opportunity to enjoy the better than normal life that he offered. That by faith, we can find our broken places made complete in trusting who Jesus was. And that's the beauty of his grace. But did you hear what he's getting at? He's talking about money, and he brings everybody's attention right to the middle and says, but do you know how much you're worth? Do you know your value? I don't know where your faith journey was as you walked in today. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long, long time, and I want you to hear this question. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're just kind of checking things out, and maybe you find yourself somewhere in between. But when it comes to your worth and your value, I also am not talking about how much money you do or don't have. I want to let Jesus's question resonate. Are you not of more value than they? And if you hear nothing else that I say today, everybody listen to this. You and I, in God's eyes, our stories, what brought us to this moment, our past, all the broken places that make that up, all the ways we've missed the mark, all the ways we haven't measured up, all the imperfections in us, all the ways we haven't lived up to the standard of God or anybody else, and all of those things, your worth, your value, mine, you and I were worth, in God's eyes, the very life of his son. You were worth the life of God. Not because you've done anything to deserve it, and certainly not because I have. Don't begin to confuse the two, because Jesus paused with that question for a reason. Aren't you of more worth than they? And now, as you and I live on the other side of the cross, and we look back to the defining statement Jesus made on the cross, then don't go back to trying to define your worth and value by what you do or don't have. In God's eyes, because of the depth of his love and the riches of his grace, you were worth the life of Jesus, that you and I might know the better than normal life that God provides. Your value is not in what you do. It's not in what you make. It's not in how much you have. Your worth, your value is in the fact that God himself died so that you and I would live. Don't go back. Don't go back to measuring by stuff. Don't devalue your life in that way. In God's eyes, because of his love for you and for me, you are worth his death. Start there. And in the conversation on finances, start there. Because your worth and value, if you try to define it by this world, it will sink you and cripple you. But when you understand it in God's eyes, it frees you to live a better than normal life than anything this world could offer you. Jesus goes right back to his teaching. Same passage, very next verse, very next statement out of Jesus' mouth. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Can I let that sit again just one more time? I'll say it again. Which of you, I'm talking to us, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Don't worry, because you're worth it. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon was widely thought of as the richest, wealthiest person that ever lived. In all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus continues. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? The Gentiles, godless people of the time, they seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. It's not lost on him that we need provision to live. But, and here's the priority, this is the focus. When it comes to dollar cents, finances, and following Jesus in our faith, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything you and I will ever need is tied directly to the purpose, the very purpose for which God made us. And he will not fail in allowing us to live that out. You will not ever be satisfied if you try to define yourself by money, but Jesus came that you will always be satisfied when you find your worth in him. That's a powerful change of thought. It's a powerful new way of viewing things. But in order to find that better than normal that Jesus came to provide, it means we've got to prioritize our life in the same way that he lived it out. We can't, in one hand, say, I love that Jesus died for me and I want to live that life, while at the same time saying, but it's going to be on my terms and in my way. Those priorities don't mix up. That doesn't align. So that's the question I told you. This is kind of like the final frontier of faith. Can I trust Jesus with my finances to be for me and provide for me the better than normal life that he promised? Do not make this message about how you spend your money. This is a heart message. But while we're on it, how often do we find ourselves a slave to money? Because the debt's piling up faster than we can keep up with it. Because how many times have we had terrible habits when it comes to money, right? Well, it was at the front by the register and it was on sale. No. I saved money. It was on sale. You should see how much I saved. Yes, I spent a couple hundred, but man, I saved a couple hundred. And by spending an inordinate amount of money, I saved us even more. I've never heard that before, and I've never said that, right? That'd be silly people. None of you would do that either, right? But we become slaves to money in those moments. We become slaves to money when we have wild binges. We become slaves to money if we can't guard ourselves on Amazon. We become slaves to money if we don't govern our spending with a budget and make decisions before we get to the register. We become slaves to money when we don't store up money for a rainy day. These are all decisions that end up chaining us back to having to live to make a buck instead of to live a better than normal life than Jesus promised. I know it's a question. Can you trust Jesus with your finances? Because you were worth it for him to die to set you free to so much more. So what does it look like? How do you make this practical? How do I allow Jesus to govern my finances? I'm so glad you asked, because it's how I wanted to wrap up this message. The mission of Bridgepoint is that we exist to help people, all people, get closer to God. And then underneath that is kind of three tiers that guide that process by believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. And I just want to walk you through our mission and how it's tied to a better than normal life, even when it comes to your finances. How can I experience a better than normal life in my finances? By believing in Jesus. At some point, you trust that what he said to us was true, and you give him a chance to prove it, which means at some point, you start giving. At some point, you start trusting him with the finances. At some point, you say, you know what? It would be much easier for me to keep my wallet in my back pocket, for me to not pull out the checkbook. Do people still write checks these days? For me to not Venmo the money or send it via the Bridgepoint app. But at some point, you have to give Jesus a chance to be big enough to be in control of your finances and provide everything you will ever need. But even in that, can I give you one little step to consider? In order to believe in Jesus, what if you aim to move from tipping to trusting? Because the temptation for a lot of us is to show up in a place like this and say, yeah, well, I mean, I think they got it going on. A ministry costs money. And the more people we reach, the more opportunities we're going to have to say yes or no to them based on the resources that God provides. And he's not hanging on you. But at some point, you have to decide, am I moving from trusting him? Am I going to trust him with it? Where it's not just going to be, well, God, today I got a couple bucks, so I'll stick them in the bin. Or God, I just got paid, so I'll slip you a 20. Good job. It was a good message, good worship last week. So way to go, God. But move from tipping to saying, God, I want to prioritize this, and I'm going to start with this amount, and I'm going to trust you. Believe in Jesus. That's how you work towards the better than normal life in your finances, but it's also by living his teachings. And I want you to understand this. That means don't be a slave to your money, but make money serve you. It's time to have a conversation about a budget. It's time to have a conversation that maybe your spending habits wouldn't be fixed if you just had more money. Because if the focus is that another cup from Starbucks or another meal out isn't really the problem, and yet you're not able to provide for your basic needs, maybe those things are the problem because we're not living intentionally. We're just allowing money to serve us. In fact, if you have more questions about this, my friend Chuck is starting a learning group this semester at Bridgepoint called The Blessed Life. All of that will be so practical and applicable to you. Go through the Bridgepoint app, check the website, The Blessed Life. You won't regret joining that group. But live his teachings. What are his teachings on money in terms of giving? It's to aim for a tithe. Now, again, this has never been about money. It's never been about a dollar amount, but a tithe does literally translate to a tenth, and that's the biblical teaching, that God would love to see us right from the top trust him with a tenth. And I know many of you are like, trust him with a tenth? I don't have a tenth. I'm at 100% and I still don't have enough, right? The principle of this is a faith decision that said, right from the beginning, I'm going to trust God with 10%, because trusting him with 10 is a wiser decision than trusting myself with 100. Yeah. That's just truth, and it allows our faith to grow. Two passages of scripture for the note takers out there. When it comes to believing in Jesus, start with Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. It's not about a dollar amount. That passage, Jesus points to somebody who had just given at the temple and says, man, do you see that gift? It was a widow that threw in just a couple coins. It was all she had. And some of the followers around him were like, are you talking about the people that basically backed up dump trucks and unloaded on the temple? And Jesus is like, no, not them. Did you see the woman who gave two coins out of sincere faith? This is not about a dollar amount, so start somewhere. But then I want you to read, even in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, that's when the principle of the tithe was first referenced in the Bible. You can see it taught throughout. Here's what you have to decide. God, to trust you, to give money and trust you even with my wallet. I want to find a place that is Bible believing because I want to know they stand on truth. I want to find a place that's all about you, Jesus, because you're the only Savior for this world. And I want to find a place that's living that out in a way that helps people and recognizes that people need help in their community. And God, I'm not giving to that church. And I never want you to feel like you're giving to me or to Bridgepoint. Dear Lord, that's a mistake, all right? But if this place is aligned in its mission with things that are on God's heart, then to give to Bridgepoint is like giving and trusting God with that, because it's a like mission. So give to God and trust Bridgepoint as it lives out that mission. If you have questions about that, let me know. But that's how you start to live out his teachings, is to be willing to trust him with those things. Believe in Jesus. Just start giving, not about a dollar, but start somewhere. And then as you continue to do it, grow in it and aim to be able to trust him with those biblical principles. And then lastly, we want to live to become his people. And that means we move from tithe to generosity. Again, some of you aren't here yet, and that's okay. This is a process that's not about a dollar. It's about a heart. But when you get to a place where you can say right off the top, God, I trust you with this. And from here on out, God, I want to give in a way that's over and above because I want to see your work. I want to see your love. I want to see your message spread all around the world. That's the beginning place for that. Can you trust God to move from tithe to over and above generosity? In Matthew chapter 25, I want you to read this one, verses 14 through 20. Quick summary of the story is there's a master that's about to leave. He gives one of his servants 5 coins. He gives one 3 coins. He gives one coin. And he says, I'm trusting you with it. I got to go, but I'm coming back to make sure you are wise. The one he gave 5 doubled it and made 5 more. The one he gave 3 doubled it and made 3 more. The one he gave 1 was like, I was scared, didn't know what to do, so I buried it, but I still got it. And he looks at the 2 that made money and he said, bravo, because you trusted. You jumped out, you stepped out in faith. And he looks at the 1 that hid his money and said, you lazy person. What kind of faith is that? And then he looks at the other 2 and he says, I want you guys to step into the joy of your master. Become his people by moving from tithe to generosity. And as you do, step into the joy that knows that God isn't dependent upon any one of us. But the more we are able to give over and above, the more we're able to trust him, and the more we are able to see God do more in and through us than we could ever do on our own, the more we get to say, God, thank you that my worth isn't defined in what I do, but God, I can trust you and see your message carried throughout the whole world. This isn't about giving to God because God needs something from you. This is about Jesus promising to satisfy our souls completely. And it's about the reality that money will never be enough for us. Do you want the better than normal life? I do. I don't want to settle. That means we're going to have to trust God. Going to trust his promise. Going to trust that Jesus was enough. One of those ways is with our finances. So God, can we trust him or not? But when Jesus said, I came to give them more and better life than they could ask or imagine, that's the life I want to live for. Because Jesus has always satisfied me in a way that money has always tried to demand from me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are enough for the better than normal life. Would you pray with me? God, I'm grateful for a moment to just pause. I'm grateful for a moment that in light of everything that's going on in this world, God, we get to stand and build our lives on truth. And your truth, at least what you promised, is that you came to give us a more and better life than this world has to offer. God, I want to grab a hold of that promise. But I know that promise has implications for me in order to experience it. So God, for all of us, would you help us to trust you? Even to trust you where it costs us. Jesus, the question today is not about how much. That's not the question in your economy. But God, today, the question is about our heart. God, would you help us to trust you? And in so doing, God, would we be able to experience and step into your joy? Thank you, Jesus, that your death on the cross and your life after it makes that possible. In your name we pray. Amen.
God doesn't need our money, but we do need to trust him with it. Do you trust that God is with you, for you, and has a plan for your life? When we handle our finances right, it can lead us to a better than normal life.